ஓம் சதாசிவசமாரம்பாம் சங்கராச்சாரிய மத்யமாம் அஸ்மதாச்சாரிய பர்யந்தாம் வந்தே குரு பரம்பராம். ஓம் ஹேவிங் கம்ப்ளீட்டட் தி செவன்த் சாப்டர் we will now enter into the 8th chapter of the Gita. The 8th chapter is primarily based on the last 2 verses of the 7th chapter. We saw in the 7th chapter, in the last 2 verses, Krishna introduced certain technical terms without explaining them to Arjuna. He introduced 6 terms: Brahma, Karma, Adhyatmam, அதிபூதம், அதிதெய்வம் அண்ட் அதியஜ்ஞம். அண்ட் ஆஃப்டர் இன்ட்ரடியூசிங் தீஸ் 6 டேர்ம்ஸ், கிருஷ்ணா ஆல்சோ டாக்ட் அபவுட் ரிமம்பரிங் காட் அட் தி டைம் ஆஃப் டெத். அண்ட் நேச்சுரலி it creates a curiosity in the mind of Arjuna. Why should Krishna talk about Ishvara Smaranam at the time of death? Naturally, there must be some significance for that expression. All put together, in Arjuna's mind, 7 questions arise. 6 questions dealing with the 6 technical terms, and the 7th question dealing with the significance of remembering God at the time of death. And the entire 8th chapter is devoted to answering these 7 questions arising from Arjuna. And by way of answering Arjuna's questions, Krishna introduces the important topic of Upasana, otherwise called Saguna Ishvara Dhyanam. I had said that in the middle section of the Gita, that is from 7th to the 12th chapter, Krishna highlights the sadhana of Upasana. While in the first 6 chapters, Karma Yoga Sadhana is highlighted, in the middle part of the Gita, Upasana is to be highlighted, and this topic Krishna deals with in the 8th chapter. And therefore the chapter begins with Arjuna's questions based on the last 2 verses. With this background, we will enter into the chapter proper. Atha Ashtamo Dhyayah. Arjuna Uvacha. Kim Tad Brahma Kim Adhyatmam. கிம் கர்ம புருஷோத்தம, adhibhutam cha kim proktam, adhidaivam kimuchyate,
adhidaivam kimuchyate.
Arjunaha uvacha. Arjuna asked the following 7 questions based on verse 29 and 30 of the 7th chapter. So the first question is, Tat Brahma Kim? Brahman, the term was mentioned in the 29th verse. Te Brahma Tadviduh Krishnam. There Krishna used the word Brahma. Therefore, Arjuna wants to know, Kim Tad Brahma? What do you mean by Brahman? Similarly, Adhyatmam Kim? What is the meaning of the technical term Adhyatmam, which was also introduced in the 29th verse, second line? Adhyatmam Karma Chakhilam. Therefore, what is Adhyatmam? Question number 2. Then the third question is, King Karma. What do you mean by karma? Even though it has got a dictionary meaning of action, but technically, what is the significance of the word karma? This is question number 3. Then the fourth question is, Adhibhutam cha kim proktam? O Lord, what is the meaning of the word Adhibhutam, which occurs in verse number 30 of the 7th chapter? Sadhi Bhutadhi Daivam Maam. There Krishna has introduced the word. And then the 5th question is, Adhi Daivam Kim Uchyate? And what is referred to as Adhi Daivam? This word also is introduced in the 30th verse of the 7th chapter. He Purushottama. Purushottama is not the 6th question. Purushottama is Arjuna addressing the Lord. Okay. So, He Krishna, please answer these 5 questions. And then 2 more words are there. Therefore, 1 more verse in which Arjuna's question continues. We will read, Adhi yajna katham kotra, dehesmin madhusudana, prayana kale cha katham, nyeyo si niyatatma bhihi, now comes the 6th question. Adhi yajnaha kaha? Who is Adhi Yajna, or what is Adhi Yajna, which is also mentioned in the 7th chapter, 30th verse? And there Arjuna adds another question also, 6a and 6b. So the question is, what is Adhi Yajna? But there itself he adds a clause, Katham Asmin Dehe Vartate. And how does Adhi Yajna reside in the body? We don't know how Arjuna thought it resides in the body. See, when Arjuna doesn't know what Adhi Yajna is, How does he know it resides in the body? Perhaps he has heard somewhere, and therefore he raises the question, how does adhiyajna reside in the body? So this is a side question of the sixth one. And then comes the seventh and final question. There also you have to see 7a and 7b. What is the main question? What is the significance of remembering God at the time of death? Is there any significance at all? And if there is a significance, what is that? That is question number 1, 7a. And there itself the second question is, how can a person remember God at the time of death? Even when we are very much alive, we are finding it difficult to remember God. And especially if we sit in meditation, we remember everything except God. So when it is so difficult during normal days, how can I manage to remember God? Prana prayana samaye kapha vata pittaihi kanta avarodhana vidhau smaranam kutaste. So when all faculties are failing, how am I to remember the Lord at the time of death? If there is any technique, O Krishna, teach me that technique also. That is said here, prayana kale. Prayana kala means at the time of the final journey. When we are taking leave of all the near and dear one. So, prayana kale, not the local journey. But, antima prayana kale, katham jneyaha asi, how are you to be remembered? Jneyaha here means dheyaha. How are you to be remembered? By whom? Niyatatmabihi, by committed people, by integrated people, by the people of self-control. There must be a tremendous control over the mind to remember the Lord at the time of death. Therefore, how can self-controlled people remember God at the time of death? This is the seventh question regarding antakala smaranam. He Madhusudana. Again, Madhusudana is not the eighth question. Madhusudana is addressing the Lord. He Krishna, who has destroyed the asura known as Madhu. So, Madhu Rakshasa Nashakaha Madhusudanaha. So, in philosophical symbolism, they take the word Madhu as all the karmas also. In Mundaka Upanishad, the word Madhu is used in the meaning of karma phalam also. And if you take Madhu as all the karma, Madhusudanaha means the destroyer of all the Sanchita Agami Prarabdha karmas, therefore the one who gives moksha. So that is the philosophical significance of the word Madhusudana. He Krishna, please answer this question. So thus, the eighth chapter begins with Arjuna's question, and Lord Krishna has exam now. Exam season for Krishna also. He has to answer now and not any two or any three. Okay. Or like choosing one of four answers given, you know. So Krishna doesn't get any choice like that. He has to explain each one. Krishna has no problem. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha. Aksharam Brahma Paramam. Svabhavo Dhyatma Mucyate. Bhuta Bhavo Bhavakaraha. Visarga karma samjitaha. Krishna begins his reply. The first question was, what is Brahman? And Krishna gives the answer, Paramam Aksharam Brahma. Paramam Aksharam Brahma. The word Aksharam means the imperishable principle. Na Ksharati Na Nashyati Iti Aksharam. And the adjective Paramam means the highest, the greatest imperishable principle is called Brahman. And why Krishna adds the adjective Paramam? If Krishna uses the word Aksharam only, it may be mistaken as an alphabetic letter also. Because the word Aksharam can refer to any alphabetic letter. That is why initiation into alphabet is called Aksharabhyasaha. And in Sanskrit, alphabet is called Aksharamala. Therefore, a person may take Aksharam as a letter by adding the adjective Paramam, the greatest and the most supreme Aksharam. Krishna wants to say, don't take the ordinary alphabet, but take the ultimately imperishable entity. The root kshar means to perish. Ksharati iti ksharaha. A perishable one is called ksharaha. Aksharam means the imperishable one. In fact, Brahman is called Aksharam in the Mundaka Upanishad. Atha parayaya tadaksharam adhigamyate. Yattadadresyam agrahyam agotram avarnam achakshushrotram tadapanipadam nityam vibhum sarvagatam susukshvam tadavyayam tadbhutayonim paripashyanti dhira. In Mundakopanishad, Brahman is known by the name Aksharam. That is here referred to. And what is that principle which is imperishable? There is only one thing that is imperishable, that is Sarvagata Chaitanya Tattvam. Consciousness is the only entity which remains imperishable. Matter is subject to decay and destruction. And that is why our very body is decaying and dying every moment. To put in the 7th chapter language, apara prakriti is perishable. Para prakriti, the Chaitanya Tattvam alone is imperishable. Therefore, what is Brahman? The eternal, consciousness is Brahman. And the very word Brahma means Brihattamatvat Brahma. It is derived from the root Brih, to be big. And Brahma means that which is superlatively big, that which is superlatively limitless entity, Ananta Tattvam is called Brahman. So with this, Krishna has answered the first question very, very briefly. Krishna does not elaborate because this Brahman has been talked about as Paraprakriti in the 7th chapter. Therefore, if you want to know more about Brahman, go back to the 7th chapter Paraprakriti topic. Where does it come? From verse number 4 to 10. Adhen Juliachana. So you can go back and see that topic. And because Krishna's teaching begins with the word Aksharam Brahma, the very chapter is called Akshara Brahma Yoga. The chapter does not begin with that word. Chapter begins with Kimtad Brahma. But Krishna's teaching begins with Aksharam Brahma Paramam. Therefore, the chapter is called Akshara Brahma Yoga. Then Krishna comes to the second question. What was the second question? What is Adhyatmam? Krishna says, Swabhavaha Adhyatmam Uchyate. The very all-pervading consciousness must be existing within the individual body also, isn't it? If the consciousness is all-pervading, it must be within the body also. And when the consciousness is seen within the body, that is called Adhi Atmam or Adhyatmam. The word Atma here means Shariram. Adhi Atmam means obtaining within the body. So thus, consciousness looked from the angle of Samashti or total, it is called Brahma. When the very same consciousness is looked from the standpoint of the individual body, it is called Adhyatmam. So the word Swabhavaha means the inner essence, the consciousness within. So, Brahman is Paramatma, Adhyatmam is Jivatma. Brahman is the consciousness from macro angle, Adhyatmam is the consciousness from micro angle. Consciousness is the same, two different words are used because of two different terms of reference. And this is very common for us also. A person remaining the same, when he is looked from the standpoint of the wife, he is called the husband. When the same person is looked from the standpoint of the children, he is called the father or parent. And when looked from the standpoint of the parent, he himself is called son or child. How can one and the same person be called father, son, grandfather, husband, brother. This is called Shabda Pravritti Nimittam in technical language. In simple English, the point of reference when it differs, the nama, the name also differs. Thus, consciousness is called Paramatma, consciousness is called Jivatma, depending upon macro and micro point of reference. So, with this, the second question is answered. Then, what is the third question? What is karma? Krishna gives the answer. Bhuta bhava udbhava karaha visargaha. Visargaha refers to all the activities, all the actions, deliberate actions of human beings which are responsible for the future creation. All the deliberate activities of human being which are responsible for the future creation is called karma. Because according to our scriptures, creation is not an accident. Creation is not an accident. Creation is a clean incident caused by previous factors or action. Therefore, if I am born here with a physical body, it is not an accident, it is a result of what? My own past karma. Similarly, you are born because of your karma. The individual birth is because of individual karma. The birth of humanity is because of the karma of the humanity. So therefore, Krishna says, Bhuta Bhava. Bhuta Bhava means the existence of living being. Udbhava Karaha means that which brings about. So, Bhuta Bhava Udbhava Karaha means that which brings about the existence of every living being, not only human. A mosquito is there with a mosquito body because of what? Its karma. And a dinosaur is because of its karma. And not only my karma determines my body, it also determines my parentage. Why I should get such and such parents, wonderful parents, or terrible ones? And why should I get such and such brothers and sisters, my karma? And why should I be born in India, my karma? I don't want to say good or bad. There are people who think it is bad karma. There are people who think it is good karma. I don't want to qualify it. But one thing is definite. It is because of karma. And the beauty is, I get a set of parents by my karma. My parents get me as their child because of their karma. And similarly, I get wonderful disciples like you because of my good karma. And you get a teacher like me because of dash dash. You can decide dash dash karma. So thus, everything that happens is the result of our actions. And when you take the creation as a whole, we say the present creation is the result of the past creation. And the past creation is the result of its past creation. And the future creation will be the result of the present creation. And therefore, what is karma? Srishti karanam karma. Therefore, remember, the creation has come into being not because of Bhagavan's wish. The creation has come to being because we have asked for that. Therefore, never put the akshadai on Bhagavan's head. That's what we are seeing in Brahma Sutra now. Bhagavan is not responsible for the creation. The type of creation and the necessity of creation is because I have asked for it by my good, bad and mixed action. Punyena punyam lokam bhavati, papena papam ubhabhyameva manushya lokam. And if 14 lokas are there, not because Bhagavan wants 14 lokas, but because we have done varieties of karmas requiring the 14 lokas. We do such terrible actions necessitating a Naraka environment, and we also do wonderful actions necessitating a wonderful heaven, and we also manage to mix up and necessitating Manushya Loka. Thus, everything is karma ordered, and therefore karma is defined as Srishti Karanam, that is here presented as Bhuta Bhava Udbhava Karaha. And Visargaha means action, my contribution, is called Karma Samjitaha. So with this, three questions are answered. Now we are going to the next verse, and further questions are answered. Adhibhutam kshaaro bhavaha. Purushascha adhidaivatam. Adhiyajnohamevatra. Dehe deha bhritambara. So Krishna answers three more questions here. Adhibhutam kim? So what is adhibhutam? Here Krishna answers, every perishable thing in the creation is called adhibhutam. Ksharaha bhavaha. Bhavaha means what? An entity. So thus, any object that you experience is adhibhutam because it is ksharaha. Ksharaha means what? As opposed to akshara seen before. Akshara means imperishable, therefore ksharaha means perishable. All the five elements come under adhibhutam. The sun, moon, stars, etc. come under adhibhutam. And everything like rivers, mountains, they all come under adibhutam. Even our physical bodies come under adibhutam, because the bodies also are perishable. Kshara bhava. Sandehamanu illiye. It is perishable. That's why we look for security. If it is imperishable, we don't require security. Therefore, the entire perishable material world is called adhibhutam. So, the fourth question is answered. Then he goes to the fifth question, adhidaivam. Adhidaivam Krishna defines as purushaha. So, here the word purushaha means Hiranyagarbhaha. Purushaha means Hiranyagarbhaha. And Hiranyagarbhaha in Shastric language means the total consciousness associated with the total mind. And therefore associated with total knowledge. If you remember Tattva Bodha, Samashti Sukshma Sharira Sahita Chaitanyam Hiranyagarbhaha. Consciousness associated with total subtle body. If you don't know or remember what is subtle body, you take it as mind. Therefore, consciousness associated with the total mind is called Hiranyagarbha. And that Hiranyagarbha alone is called a presiding deity from the standpoint of every organ. So, the presiding deity of the eye is Surya Devata. So, Chakshusha Suryaha, and the presiding deity of the ears is our Devata, Shrotrasya Dig Devata. So, thus, we have got presiding deities for every organ. All the presiding deities put together is called Hiranyagarbha. That Hiranyagarbha is called adhidaivam. And then the sixth question, adhiyajnaha. Adhiyajnaha, Krishna says, aham eva. Aham means what? Krishna, the Lord himself, Ishvara, is adhiyajnaha. Adhiyajnaha is Ishvaraha. And what is the definition of Ishvara in Tattva Bodha? If you remember Tattva Bodha, Ishvara is defined as the consciousness associated with the total Karana Prapancha. And what is the definition of Karana Prapancha? The whole universe in potential form. So, before the creation evolves, the whole creation existed in potential form, otherwise called Shakti, otherwise called Maya, and that Shakti plus the consciousness is called Ishvaraha. And who is that Ishvara? Krishna says, don't see here and there, I am that Ishvara. I am the cause of the entire universe. Therefore, adhiyajnaha aham eva. I am the seed of the universe. And that Lord alone, in Puranic symbolism, they say after the pralaya comes, when everything is destroyed, then on a leaf, alala Krishnan, banyan leaf, Lord Krishna floats, it is said. What does that water and the banyan leaf represent? It is nothing but the seed form of the universe, and Lord Krishna represents the consciousness principle, consciousness plus potential universe is called Ishvara. In science language, consciousness plus basic energy is Ishvara. So with this, the sixth question is also answered. And Arjuna had asked an additional question also there. Where does that Lord reside? The Adhiyajnaha, the Ishvaraha. So can you differentiate Adhidaivam and Adhiyajna? Samashti Sukshma Sharira Sahita Chaitanyam Adhidaivam. Samashti Karana Sharira Sahita Chaitanyam Adhiyajnaha. Hiranyagarbha is Adhidaivam, Ishvara is Adhiyajnaha. And where is that Ishvara? So where can I find him? Krishna says, Atra Dehe Dehabhritam Vara. Arjuna addressed Krishna as Madhusudana. Krishna says, I will also address you as Dehabhritam Varaha, the greatest human being. Chulli vekarome. So that Arjuna will be very happy. And it is true also, Arjuna was a great person. So, O Arjuna, the greatest one, the Lord resides in every body. In the 10th chapter, Krishna will say, Aham Atma Guda Kesha Sarvabhutasya Yasthitaha. And in the 18th chapter, Krishna will say, Ishvara Sarvabhutanam Hriddeshe Arjuna Tishthati. And because the Lord resides in every human being, Lord is called Narayanaha. Naram means all the living being. Naranam, Jivanam, Samuhaha, Naram. Naram na not Naru. Naram means Jiva Samuhaha. And Ayanam means the residence. So every living being is the residence of the Lord. Therefore, where is the Lord? Atra Dehe Vartate. Prajna Rupena. Again, if you remember Tattva Bodha, Vishwa, Taijasa and Prajna. Prajna Rupena Ishwaraha Asmin Dehe Vartate. Then is the Lord there in Kailasa and Vaikuntha or not? He is there also. The Lord is everywhere. The Lord happens to be in the heart also. And then why is he known as Adhiyajnaha? Adhiyajnaha means residing in the heart. The Lord is associated with every action you do. Yajnaha means what? Every prayer or puja or action you do. In what way the Lord is associated with our yajnas, our pujas? He is the receiver of the puja, as we saw in the 7th chapter. And not only he is the receiver of the puja, he also gives the puja phalam. Remember the 7th chapter? Yo yo yam yam tanum bhaktaha shraddhayarchitum icchati tasya tasyachalam shraddham tameva vidadhamyaham. Any puja done by anyone, I receive the puja, I give the karma phalam. Therefore, yajna bhoktru rupena and karma phala dhatru rupena, as the receiver of puja and as the giver of the result, I remain in the heart of everyone. And therefore you need not bother whether my good actions will be registered in God's diary or not. Because far away irukkaralli, avaru kannula padumo padado, nenekke vanda, every small action you do, good or bad, it is immediately registered, and the Lord, according to the law of karma, will punch the result and punch your nose if required. So therefore, every experience you go through is karma phalam coming from Lord. For a Vedic person, every experience is my karma phalam. Therefore, I cannot complain to anyone. Why me? Why this suffering comes? Why this enjoyment comes? There is no question. I am reaping the result of my own action. But I don't remember all those past actions. I have told you, we don't remember last class itself. Therefore, where is the question of remembering? But non-remembrance does not mean non-performance. Ardham purinjikanam nama. Non-remembrance does not mean non-performance. Whether I remember or not, what I have done, I have done. And therefore, I have to dearly pay the price given by whom? Adhi yajnaha. So, adhi yajnaha means karma phala data. So, with this, the sixth question is also answered. Now, remains the seventh question. Verse 5. Antakale cha mameva.
Antakale cha mameva.
Smaran muktva kalevaram.
Smaran muktva kalevaram.
Yav prayati samadbhavam.
Yav prayati samadbhavam.
Yati nastyatra samshayaha. In the previous two verses, 3 and 4, Krishna answered all the six questions very briefly. And now Krishna wants to answer the seventh question very elaborately. In fact, the rest of the chapter, beginning from verse number 5, up to the last verse, number 28, Krishna is answering the seventh question. For six questions, two verses. And for one question, 5 to 24 verses. Both inclusive. Okay, otherwise don't ask how 24. Because by way of answering this question, Krishna wants to introduce an important topic, I said. And what is that topic? Ishvara Upasana. Ishvaraha means the Lord with attributes. Saguna Brahma Ishvaraha. And this Lord with various attributes, as described in the scriptures, can be meditated upon and it is considered a very important spiritual sadhana. And this saguna upasanam can give twofold result, depending upon the motive or attitude with which it is done. So broadly, this saguna upasanam is divided into two types, sakama saguna upasanam, and the other is nishkama saguna upasanam. Sakama saguna upasanam means upasana done for material benefit. Material benefits belonging to ihaloka, material benefits belonging to paraloka. To go to the heaven, I can practice upasana. And for a better birth, I can practice upasana. In this janma itself, for getting various benefits like health, wealth, status, etc., I can practice upasana, and above all to accomplish siddhis or miraculous powers, upasana can be practiced. That is why you will find many upasakas are siddha. They will say, I am an Anjaneya upasaka, I am a Devi upasaka, I am such and such devata upasaka. And as a result of upasana, this person gets certain extraordinary powers, like capacity to predict the future. Kuri solradhe solalaya. In fact, many people go there. In fact, people go there only. Because they have got a particular day when they say that deity is entering them. And then whatever question you ask, when will my business improve? Or when will this disease go? How many people stand in line? And that person during that time is able to predict and suggest pariharas. And reading the minds of other people, all these commander varieties of siddhis, hundreds of siddhis are enumerated in the Puranas, in Bhagavatam and all. Knowing the past, knowing the future, knowing the past janma of mine, past janma of yours. Irukkara problem porada. And also capacity to see what is underground, what are divining, no? Ulla enna irukku solli kulikkame, without digging you can see. Countless siddhis are mentioned, all the result of what? Sakama saguna Ishvara upasana. Then there is another Ishvara upasanam which comes under nishkama saguna Ishvara upasanam. Practice of saguna Ishvara upasanam. Upasanam means what? Meditation. Remember. Practice of this upasanam, not for material benefits, but for spiritual benefit. Nastha dharme navasu nichaye naiva kamopabhoge. Yadyad bhavyam bhavatu bhagavan purva karmanu rupam. Etat prarthyam mama bahubatam janma janmantarepi. Tvat padambho ruha yugagata nischala bhakti rastu. One devotee says, O Lord, I am remembering you not for artha, not for kama, not for punyam. I am not interested in any one of them, because I know they are all perishable in nature. I have got only one goal, and that is the spiritual goal called moksha. or in religious language, God Himself is my goal. I want to attain oneness with you, Ishvara Aikya Prapti, otherwise called Moksha. And this upasana requires Vairagyam naturally. Because as long as I have got kamas, I will use my bhakti only for the fulfillment of them. A viragi bhaktaha becomes a nishkama upasakaha. And this nishkama upasaka can take two different courses or direction. One direction is, he practices nishkama upasana for a long time, which is saguna ishvara upasana. And having practiced this upasana, he becomes very well qualified for nirguna ishvara jnanam in this janma itself. So one course is what? Saguna upasanam, preparation of the mind, dropping saguna upasanam and entering into nirguna ishvara jnanam, para prakriti jnanam. And by gaining the nirguna ishvara jnanam in this janma itself, I attain moksha, which is called sadyo muktihi. This is one option. The second option is, a person continues in saguna upasanam and he is not confident of coming to nirgunam. He is allergic to nirgunam. Because nirgunam means what? Attributeless Brahman. Puriyarade illiye solidum. So if a person is allergic to nirguna ishvara jnanam, he continues the saguna upasanam throughout the life, and at the time of death also he remembers saguna ishvara and prays to the Lord, "O Lord, I want moksha and nothing else." And as a result of such upasana, he will go to Brahma Loka and get jnanam there. Instead of gaining nirguna ishvara jnanam here, he gets the jnanam there. This second course is called Krama Muktihi. And Krishna is going to deal with the Krama Mukti topic here, the details of which we will see in the next class. Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi.